She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody, to Mrs. Green's World, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. I'm Gina Murphy, darling, and thanks for joining us. And before we start the show, I want to do a brief shout-out to one of our sponsors, as I always do at the top of the hour, Habitat for Humanity Tucson. They are all about building homes, community, and hope. And Habitat for Humanity can always use volunteers, so check out the habitat nearest you and consider giving a little bit of your time and or your money to one of the most impactful nonprofits out there, if you ask me. We thank them for the support and for all they do to make our community and your community and our planet stronger and more sustainable. Thank you, Habitat for Humanity. So now on with the show. I'm very excited. The name of our show today is One Less Straw. And I could not be more excited about this show, and my regular listeners will attest to that, and they know it because of who the guests are. Please join me in welcoming two amazing human beings who I believe are making their third appearance on Mrs. Green's World, Carter and Olivia Reese, co-founders of One More Generation. It's a nonprofit that is dedicated to the preservation of endangered species. Their goal is to ensure all endangered species survive at least one more generation. Carter and Olivia, it's so great to have you back, and I can't wait for you to share what big stuff you're up to this time.
Well, it's great to be back. It's been quite a while since we were on it last time.
I know. And how are you both doing? I said to you when I was talking earlier, I feel like I'm growing up with you.
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing great. It's been like five years.
I know. And I just think the great place to start, because you were so young when you started One More Generation, is for both of you to give a little overview of what motivated you to start a nonprofit at ages where you were the ripe old ages of 9 and 10 and a half, I think.
7 and 8.
Oh, stop. I can't handle that. It's like, I always get it wrong. So 7 and 8, that's, I can't even process that. So tell us what happened to make you start OMG.
So when we were 7 and 8 and a half years old, our aunt went to South Africa, and while she was there, she visited a cheetah rescue center, and she brought us each back a certificate saying that we were the proud adoptive parents of cheetahs. And so the following year, when it was time to renew the adoption, I asked my dad, why do animals need to be adopted? And when he explained that unless there were animals helping to save the, unless there were people to help save the species, there might not be any left for our kids to see. And that got us so upset that we wanted to do something about it.
And you've both been working as a team ever since on a number of initiatives.
Yes, and this week we're actually celebrating our 7th year anniversary.
Oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. Yeah, and so it must have been really in the beginning that we had you on, and some of the things that happened from there were very impressive about really getting awareness out about things that are going on, especially in Africa and other places. And did it, like, I guess the question I never asked is, what did you have a love for animals? What was the awareness around this issue that struck you so strongly that you started a nonprofit at 7 and 8 and a half years old? Excuse me.
Well, I don't really know how to explain it. We've just loved animals. We have pets, and we have dogs that are in the kitchen right now. But we've always loved animals, and all our animals are rescue animals. So I think that kind of brought a light into us, like, in order to be able to preserve, like, different other species that we really like, we have to protect them. We can't obviously, like, take them into our house, but it would be good if we could, like, donate or, help in any way.
And just raising awareness among your peers and other schools and all of that. So let's just switch to the campaign, because this is a really big deal, and you picked one of my favorite issues. I have been talking to people about straws for about, I know the first time I read that statistic, I kind of forgot it, and last December, it just stuck with me. I read something, and I thought, 500 million straws every day. So why did you, with the myriad of issues that you guys know are out there, and you're very aware of what's going on in the environmental movement, why did you pick straws?
Well, one reason is because, of course, for a while now we heard about glass Dharma. It's just a cool way, instead of using plastic straws, you can use glass straws. And then we started researching about plastic straws, and I don't know if any of if you've seen the video of the people pulling the plastic straw out of the turtle's nose.
Yes.
But that also struck us, and we were like, we have to do something about this. So we created this One Less Straw Pledge campaign.
And you decided to do it. So the team, which is really you two and your dad, I mean, and I know your mother offers support in other ways, but I mean, this is not just a sign a petition on the website. It's a very well thought out, very comprehensive campaign to raise awareness about straws. Tell us about what kind of impact straws have on the environment. Go through some of the things that you're hoping to raise awareness about.
So, for example, there are many impacts that I could name right now, but I'm only going to keep it to few, because I could go on forever. So, like, for example, the amount of straws that we're using can circle the Earth in one day, can circle the Earth 2.5 times in one day. And, I mean, you can imagine that's all going into a landfill, not necessarily all in the ocean, but a lot of it is. And a lot of the animals are then eating it, and like Olivia said, they could have them stuck in their nose. You never know what's going to happen. So, also, like 44% of all seabirds and albatross are dying from this because they see it, they go pick it up, and they regurgitate it into the babies, which is also sad. And then 22% of marine wildlife also dies from this.
From eating a straw, because they think it's food.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, again, I said 500 million plastic straws, but that can fill 46,400 school buses every year.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh. With a little straw.
Yeah.
It's such a great visual to think about the impact and running the numbers for that. It's a really big number, you guys.
It really is. It really is.
And then they're made from petroleum, the ever-present petroleum byproduct, which means they will never biodegrade. Not anything you and I have to think about in my lifetime or your lifetime or your children's lifetime or your grandchildren's lifetime. They'll be around forever. They don't ever go away.
No, they don't. And that's the crazy part about it. And, like, what we're trying to say, a lot of people go, then why do I have to worry about it now? But you have to, because you want to be the generation that, you want to be the known generation that actually made a difference. Because future generations might not have the same thought as we do now. Future generations might see the problem just like a lot of older generations. So if we can do it now, then we can have a huge head start on fixing the problem.
And how did you go about, like, this is a big, what I would call, and honestly, I mean, it's a magnificent but also huge marketing undertaking. Because in order for you to raise awareness about the campaign, you want literally millions of people to end up hearing about it. So is your focus going to be mostly on schools, on businesses, on the public? How are you going to launch the campaign?
So we just recently launched the website itself. I want to say a few days ago, 1 week ago, actually. But the main way we're trying to get it for schools, students, restaurants, basically anyone who's breathing needs to, like, get involved with it.
Did you say anyone who's breathing?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. That covers everybody.
It does. So you need to get involved with this because, I mean, it's a major issue. And since we launched it, we have over 70 partners that have joined up with us, like including Discovery and all around the world, Drifters Project. I mean, you name it, and we've got them on there. So I want to say that we've gotten this out there quite a bit so far with these 70 partners because they're spreading it as well. But with our One More Generation site, we've also posted the website so that they can just immediately go on from there.
And how did you approach the companies that you did? And it's really a very impressive group of people, including Mrs. Green's World. We're right there. But there's some really big, like the Discovery Education. That's really a big one. What was your marketing strategy, or how did you get their interest? Are they past, you know, were they aware of it, of One More Generation and your work? Or how did you go about, you know, the first step of getting the partners, which is going to then ensure the success, you know, like Ocean Conservancy? How did you get those guys and the Oceanic Society?
Yeah, well, so I want to thank you, first of all, for being on this, on our partners page, and because
we are all in.
Rolling on. Thank you. But basically, we've worked with some of these partners before, but the ones like the really big organizations, we called up basically and asked them if they would love to be with us, and they basically said yes, and so we were lucky with that aspect. So that was really great.
And what about, I didn't know, I admit this, but what about Glass Dharma? I mean, that's the straws that I use, and they're an amazing organization, and they replace the straws if they break. You can just send them back. There's a whole process, because I've had my two for probably, I don't know, 8 years, and I broke one, and they really do live up to their promise. It doesn't run out. So are they, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but are they a partner? I have not seen that.
Yes, they are one of our partners.
Okay, good, Olivia. And, good answer.
We're just working on their logo so that we can put it on their website.
Okay. And we'll be proud to have it on there. It's one of my absolute pet peeves. So there'll be a social media campaign with the partners. They'll participate. They will spread the word. What does it mean to participate? What do you have to actually do? What's the call to action?
So you just need to share our One Less Straw pledge and get as many people as you know to sign our pledge. And that's basically it.
So you have to go to your website, which is onelessstraw.org, and there's a button that says click for signing the pledge, and you're going to launch it on October 1st.
Yes, we are.
Correct.
No, actually, it's launched now.
Well, you're working with schools, so explain a little bit about how that's working. You're reaching out to schools, and what are they doing, and how are schools involved?
So, yeah, so basically schools, if you go to our website and you go to the very first page, there's the, when you're at the homepage, you click on Take the Pledge, and it'll bring you down to three different options. And the three different options are individuals, you've got schools, and businesses. And if you click on one of them, they bring you to different pages. So the schools, like you were asking, it's a fundraising for the school.
And how does that work? I didn't understand that, Carter. How does that work?
Yeah. So the students, once they learn about it, they learn about these straws and have the motivation to go back and teach their parents. And once they teach their parents, it becomes, they get them to write, sign the pledge, but also get them to give them a dollar amount every single time they get caught using the straw.
So it's like the jar when you use bad language. You have to put a quarter in.
Exactly.
So this is for bad behavior. So it's, and how much does somebody pay if they use a straw and they get caught?
Whatever amount. We've got like paper pledges and online pledges. It'll give you like different numbers, like 25 cents, $5. Anywhere that the parent will agree. because that's like the main key if they agree to do it. And then at the first time, the parent's going to give you the 25 cents or whatever amount. The second time, they're going to reluctantly give you the money. And by the third time, they're going to be really fed up and not really want to give you the money.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it'll make them think now, and it becomes a habit for them, so that for the whole month, they don't use a straw.
And, of course, hoping that they'll get out of the habit forever. I mean, we just say very clearly when we remember, when we go to a restaurant, you know, I'd like a club soda with lemon, no straw, please. And, you know, you look around, you get a little straw-phobic when you see all the straws coming to the tables. And I just don't think it's an expectation that we have, because I don't notice if there isn't one. I just notice if there is one.
And, for example, I was, we were at Partner's Pizza recently, and we said no straw, but she already put straws down on the table. And when we left, we saw her take the straws and throw them away, even though they weren't out of the wrapper.
Oh my gosh, I hate that. Why?
I know. I really don't know. It doesn't make any sense. But another example was, my dad was driving through Starbucks, and I happened to be in the front seat, and we looked down, and there was a plastic straw on the ground. And my dad said, take a picture. And I took a picture, and we looked at the picture, and we were saying, wait, there's more than just one straw here. So I went out and picked up as many straws as I saw. There were 10 straws in by one window.
It's just really crazy. And I just think, is it your hope that in some way, by this awareness, it's so not just about the straw. It's like, you know, you talk about a gateway to consciousness. To me,
yes,
it will get people thinking about it and educate them about the impact that one small action can have. And hopefully they'll have some fun with it. So students are going to be like getting people to sign pledges. I want to understand this clearly. And then it's up to them. Like if I'm a student and I have 10 people who said for every straw they use, they have to pay 10 cents, for example. Do they have to out them, or is it the honor system? You know what I mean? Like, I want to know the nitty gritty of, so if I got 10 people to do it, would they just have to promise me? Because I can't be with them all the time. So how does it work in terms of the accountability?
Yeah, it's the honor system. Basically, hopefully they pay you, but it's still more as an awareness thing than rather I just made money from people making mistakes.
Got it.
And like any of that, you can even donate to a school or however you please to do with that money. That will go back to a sort of environmental education for other people.
And I want to know in terms of the actual work, and we're coming up on the first break, which never ceases to amaze me. But when we come back, what I'd like to know is some of the, you know, we have lots of listeners, young and old and everything in between, in terms of the division of labor for what this massive campaign is. What did you and Carter, Carter and Olivia, both of you are on there, I know that. But what did you do in terms of, there's a lot of research on the site, there are a lot of moving parts to this in terms of how you're out, you know, doing the outreach and who was doing all that amazing research, because I think this is a very big deal, and it's one of the things that's come along in front of me that I think it could literally get to millions of people if some of the things that you have in place really, if all the synapses start firing, do you know what I mean? If the social media campaign is full on and people just start thinking about it every single day, 500 million straws. So,
yeah,
that's a pretty disgusting statistic. And we'll talk a little more about the statistics when we come back. So think about that, and we'll go into more of, you know, the inside steps, plans to make a big impact. And let's get real. You two are incredibly busy. And I want to know a little bit about how you find the time to do all this. And then maybe we'll have a little bit of time to catch up on some of the other things you're working on, because it's not just this. It's all part of a very integrated approach that both of you have. And then you can think of anything else that you want to add, because we have two more segments to fill, and we will, because you guys are always busy. And I want to know how personally you're going about, you know, reaching schools and a little bit more about that. So does that sound good?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Hold, please. We'll be right back. Everybody stay here with me. Carter and Olivia Reese from One More Generation talking about their One Less Straw pledge campaign. We'll be right back.
Join us for a new on-demand podcast every week at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio or SoundCloud mobile apps. We are a proud member of the iHeartRadio, Glimmerglass, and Speak Up networks. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Stay in touch with information about healthy living, sustainability, contests, and events by signing up for our e-newsletter on our website. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, back to Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. I am Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. The name of our show today is One Less Straw, and it's all about an international One Less Straw pledge campaign started by our guests today, Carter and Olivia Reese, the founders of One More Generation, which is a nonprofit that is dedicated to the preservation of endangered species and to help ensure that all endangered species survive for at least one more generation for these guys. And in case you missed the first segment, they started this when they were 7 and 8.5 years old, One More Generation. And each time I connect with them, they're up to bigger and better things. And let me just take a minute to say a little bit more about them. Their knowledge, their poise, their passion, and their ability to articulate their mission are second to none. And I so sincerely mean that. They mount campaigns, they meet with heads of states and global leaders, and they visit schools all over the country to inspire other kids to make a difference for the planet in the communities in which they live. And I, of course, believe they are unstoppable, which is why I am thrilled to have both of you as return guests. So thank you for doing this and for your commitment to preservation of this great planet of ours.
Well, thank you.
It's something I'm really proud of, and you guys know this. We're so lucky to be able to get to meet you when we came to Atlanta and when you guys came out here to Kelly School, Gale Elementary, and you made an impact on Tucson. You left a footprint here, which is what you do. And of course, we have it in our scope to get you to come back. I wish you could come back and help launch this. Okay, so
yeah, we'd love to.
I know. And Kelly and I will be fighting over who you stay with. So it's okay. I'll win. I'm older.
You're older.
Okay, so we pretty much have an idea. People go to the website. They can do it as an individual or a business. I got off that page, so I don't remember. There's
school.
How could I forget that? And tell me about the process of putting this together and who helped you. Like, you have a board, which is made up of other young people, young visionaries, and yourself and other board members. How did you, go about launching the campaign, if that makes sense?
So yeah, we had interns that we had working for us, and they got hold of the email list of the school superintendent, and there were over 7,000 of them.
Wow!
And I mean, it was crazy. So they gave that to us. Obviously, that cost money, and that's why, as a nonprofit, we were looking for funding and sponsors. So we're still looking for that. Our website has places where you can do sponsorships. You can donate. So basically, yeah, we got that, and then we've got some people that work with us to make the website itself and make the visual effects and make it look this good. Because I really love the way it looks right now, and I really do.
I love the way it looks. And you set it out in phases, so you started early in August. Tell us a little bit about that, what you did. Was that the beginning of reaching out to organizations around the world looking for partners?
Yes, that was that was the reaching out to all our partners, all the people that we were hoping to work with, and we've got everyone that we really hope to work with.
So
September.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Well, I'm
September,
wondering.
September, we have.
Go ahead, Carter. I'll be quiet.
No, it's fine. You go ahead.
Well, I was wondering, when you do this massive canvassing of 7,000, superintendents, what kind of response did you get? I mean, it's a shot. It's hard. I know these people are inundated with all kinds of things all the time. Were you pleased with the response, or did you have to work it a little bit harder? What kind of reaction did you seem to get?
Well, it just went out last week. So now we're calling everyone and making phone calls and emails and everything.
Yep.
So we're not entirely sure right now, but we're hoping to get a really good response. So far, we've got 3 schools that have already joined up with us, and we've got a great response from them.
So it's a beginning. That's good. And you're right. We're early on. We're only in month 2, not the launch. Okay. And I love the part that there's something in it for them. They'll have skin in the game, and they can use it for a really cool fundraiser. So I wonder if, like, schools, when I tell people $500 million, they're like, no, that can't be right. And I said, think about it. Every kid in every school that's getting milk out of a carton has it. Every bar, every restaurant, you know, every place you go. And I look around sometimes, and at our table, there might be 30 straws with 6 people. Drives me crazy.
You have to take the number of people that live in America, which is 327,100,000, and you can, like, take $500 million, divide it by that number, and you'll get roughly around 1.6, 1.5 straws for every man, woman, and child. And people are going to be like, well, sometimes I don't use a straw in a day. Well, other people might, like, have juice boxes in the morning and go to a restaurant at night and get 2 or 3 straws depending on how many beverages they get. So that's 4 straws for one kid, and you didn't use one, so that's even more. So you've got to take all this into consideration. It's not just the restaurants, it's juice boxes, parties, and everything, like, everything in between that works. So that's a major problem as well.
And you just keep thinking of the numbers. When you get those numbers, it blows me away. And I love that you have, like, in the third phase, when you start catching people, when the students help to ensure that they and their families are not using straws, and will they have an opportunity to share it on social media? What are you asking them to do to help keep the fires burning, as it were?
So one of the main ones is maybe we could, all of our partners or schools, or if there's schools listening, it would be great if you could share, if you could go on Twitter, Facebook, or like social media and share about the One Less Straw campaign. That would be a great way for us to get out there.
And to put a picture up. Where it's fun, where you make it, you know, and everybody loves to see that. And I think it's a really good time, and thank you for reminding me, Livy, is that there's onelessstraw.org, there's a Facebook page, One Less Straw, and you just put that in, and I did, and I joined. And then there's Facebook, don't forget, One More Generation, and Twitter, One Less Straw. It's actually the number 1, One Less Straw.
Yeah.
And then Instagram, which is my personal favorite. I mean, you guys, I hope you're really impressed that I have almost 1,200 followers on Instagram.
Wow.
And I'm the only one that does it. You know, I have a social media team that does a lot of my social media for me, but I just love it. It's my passion. I think Instagram, it's just a picture, and I always am trying to get... Go ahead, Carter.
I need people to follow me. I mean, how do I get that many?
I know. My niece was, she's a senior in high school, and she has something like, I don't know, 2,000 followers. And so I'm just trying to beat Tara because I want to get there. And I'm making up hashtags because I love to take pictures of flowers. So I'm trying to get the word out, hashtag flower freak. But it's the magic of social media. And tell us about, and if your dad wants to jump in here, he's just such an integral and crucial part of this. It's just a family affair with the Reeses. What you talked about with Twitter and the thunderclap, because that to me is just exciting as can be.
So for all the people who don't know what a thunderclap is, basically for, I want to say, a month, people, I think about 100 people, get a written message from us that they can send out to all their friends, and all their friends get it. And it's a way of spreading the message of our website and it's an expansion of what we're doing. So the thunderclap is just basically as it says, when lightning strikes, thunder spreads. So basically that's what the whole goal is, for an expansion of the message.
It's amazing. So we're going to participate. I know Kelly will be all over it, and we'll all have reminders in our myriad of mobile devices. The other thing that I want to make sure that we bring up is I think the pins are just a great idea. It's something you can keep. I hope people will get them and not throw them in the landfills. But for restaurants, I'm trying to get a restaurant here that I work with called it's Hotel Congress, and they have the Cup and Maynard's. And Maynard's Market, just a wonderful dining, very committed to sustainability. And we're going to maybe launch our End of Straw campaign with those buttons. As soon as I got all the stuff from you guys, I sent it on to them, and we only serve straws upon request. That's what the button says. Ask me why.
Yep.
Love it.
Exactly.
You guys, that's a great idea. It's such good branding. And taking pictures. And there's a great picture on your website of someone that did that. And it's really reflective of what you can have. And where is Tybee Island, Georgia? Please tell me.
It's on the coast, off the coast of Savannah.
Okay.
We've been there, like, I want to say 3 or 4 times. But I liked how you mentioned the buttons. Because we had a button that we started earlier. It said, plastic straws suck, do you? And we had that, and we loved it, but schools didn't because they thought it was not right for, like, some kids and stuff, so, and it's because of the language and stuff. So we took that off and did, we only serve straws upon request, ask me why. It's a more educational, I guess, way of saying that.
Carter, you know me. I saw that one, and I thought that was pretty impressive because it's kind of like the shock value, and you got to get people's attention somehow, but I get it. I really get it. It's really important that more people, you want to have the impact and not necessarily the shock value. So I think that's a really good point. And hopefully, so how are you going to track it? I'd love to know about the tracking piece. Is there going to be a website we can go to and look and see what's happening? And how are we going to know how it's going and catching on and keeping on fueling it?
So on our One Less Straw Pledge campaign, if you scroll down a bit, you can see there's a map. And every time somebody signs a pledge, it shows, if it's an individual, it shows a red dot around what city they live near. If it's a school, it'll be the school bus icon, and it'll be what city they live in. And same with business, it'll be little people handshaking each other, and then show what city they're near. So it won't show exactly where the people live or the school is located, but it's like about where it is.
How fun is that? And where is that going to be on the website? I'm going to look.
If you go onto the onelessstraw.org website and just scroll down, and you'll see a huge map, and you can see, if you zoom out, you can see most of the whole world. But so far, we have a lot in North America.
Oh, my gosh. And you're hoping to do this globally, which I think would be great. You have a lot of partners that are going to do that. Oh, there's the map. I see it, guys. I'm looking at it. So there's, oh, my gosh, it's already catching on. It's very encouraging, and we'll have to add Arizona there pretty darn soon. I think that's a great plan. Yes, we do.
Love that.
Kelly's going to be all over it. You know that.
Yeah, and we have the Minister of Education for Mexico. He wants to get this in all Mexico as well. for all the schools. So we're hoping to get more information on that soon.
That's great. And you have lots of contacts in Africa. I don't know anything about their straw use, but I know another thing that I read on the, you know, one of the flyers that your dad sent to us is 90%. Plastic constitutes 90% of all trash floating in the world's ocean. I mean, that is just a big number, and it never disappears. So that's the part that people have to remember. It just flies out. And another good partner for this would have been Chris Jordan. I don't know if he partners, but you've seen his website. Yeah, Note to Self, Chris Jordan. I mean, he's the one that very, very early on I had on the show probably 9 years ago, and he really got my awareness up because of the pictures of the baby albatross dying in the Midway Islands.
And could you get us in contact with him?
Sure. Oh, I think that would be great because, I mean, I think he'd be all over this. It's his passion and very aligned with your mission, and hopefully he will get involved, and he certainly knows why it's so important. You know, his pictures make you cry. It's really pretty daunting to me. Now, what about you guys? One of the questions I wanted to ask is, let's go on to, like, in your dreams. And I know I asked you once, Carter, no smart alecky stuff.
I remember that.
What would you like to see happen in 5 years from now? You said I'd be taller.
Oh.
I think that's what you said. And I cracked up because I didn't know you as well then. It just made me laugh out loud. But what would you like to see happen as a result of this campaign, like in your dreams, in your fantasy? How many schools would you have? Is there a number? Did you put your head around it of how many people and how many things you'd like to? I mean, this has the potential for a lasting impact, really, not just
on
one thing.
Yeah, our whole goal right now is to get 50,000 pledges this year.
That's awesome.
We have a 5-year plan for this to go on every single year, and that would be wonderful if we could get a bunch of schools, less straws ending up in the landfill, more animals being saved because of this, awareness spreading. So, I mean, that our goal is, I mean, it's as simple as not using a straw for 1 month. And
so easy.
I mean, hopefully that becomes a habit, and it's amazing to think like that.
So, as a result of this, for example, there are schools here that I just interviewed the head of the USGBC Green Building Council, Green Schools, and she was an amazing, amazing guest, just amazing guest. And she, you know, and her, I think it's pretty funny, her name is Rachel Gutter, and she said, yep, that's my name, and I'm the USGBC, and my name is Gutter. Mm. It's pretty funny. But she talked about some schools here. So just as an example, one of the things that Mrs. Green's World could help do, we're very connected to a school here named Changemaker. And it's a 21st century school. The kids are amazing. They're active. They're involved. So if I connected the dots with my contact there, that could help and put Changemaker on the map. It's not just about,
yeah, we'd love to get
you know,
in contact.
Yes, it's they get on the map and have something very worthwhile to do. They're amazing. Like, we have a sophomore from that high school who's on our community green team for Chapman, who's our biggest sponsor, and I cannot believe the things they're doing for, you know, community garden. It would help.
And please do introduce us to Miss Gutter. That'd be awesome.
To who?
Miss Gutter, the lady you
Gutter.
Had
Rachel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if we could make that happen, too. I mean, she's, you guys, I mean, I tell you, I put it out to my team. I asked them to please make sure that it was a priority that they listened to that show. So we're going to go to another break in about 60 seconds, and we come back. Can we talk a little bit more about, I'd like people to know a little bit more about One More Generation and some of the other things you're up to, and what you personally are going to be able to do to get out to schools. Is it just going to be, you know, boots on the ground, or mostly on the phone? And who all is helping you? How to become a sponsor? Let's have a little smorgasbord when we come back of both. I'd love our listeners to know more about One More Generation and the other important work that you're doing and how they can support you. And then we'll finish up with the how to take the One Less Straw pledge, how to encourage businesses. If every one of my listeners reached out, did it and reached out to one person, it begins the movement. So everybody stay here with me. More from Carter and Olivia Rees about their One Less Straw pledge campaign. We'll be right back.
Mrs. Green's World's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the Earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and you're listening to Mrs. Green's World. Thanks for being with us. The name of our show today, One Less Straw. I love saying those words. I love the emphasis on it, One Less Straw. Joining me for this hour are Carter and Olivia Rees, who have launched an international One Less Straw pledge campaign, which strives to educate the public about the dangers of single-use plastic straws. And I just want to press pause here and say, we don't need them. And they're doing this because of their impact on our health, our environment, and our oceans. They're trying to do something about the 500 million straws, okay, that are consumed in the United States daily. That's 175 billion straws a year filtering into our landfills and many of them making their way into our oceans. There are pictures all over the internet of straws in turtles' noses. You can find pictures of them being ingested by birds. I mean, they become a lethal weapon once they make it to the ocean, and that is not an exaggeration. And for all of our listeners, you can go to onelessstraw.org to find out all about it, because it's a great website, it's very intuitive, and you can find out how to take the pledge. And it's just like, let's make this happen. I feel like Mrs. Green's World is getting the opportunity to be a part of something really big that people can do. It's so manageable. It's not like, you know, clean out all your closets and get rid of all your toxins in the home. It's one step that you could make so much fun with. See, you guys, Carter and Olivia, that's what I like to think about. Like, if I were near my grandkids, we would have a blast with this, outing each other and checking in every day. It's not heavy. It's doing something great, but it can be so much fun. And you know me, if it's fun, call me. I want to do it. So
yes,
thank you.
So if there's any like teachers listening in, we like to say one fewer straws, but one less straws is good.
Because we want to make sure it's proper English. I love that.
Yes.
One fewer straw. You know, Olivia, just count on you for that correction. I love it. I do. And I'm an English major, and I didn't catch it. So, but we want to do that right, and I agree. So let me ask you this. This is not a trick question. Are there other options with straws? Like, is it better to use a paper straw? I know with Glass Dharma getting a lot of play on this show for this, that's what I use. There are metal straws. But are there actually straws that you could use that would be less toxic to the environment? I have no idea.
Yeah, so if you go to our resource page on the One Less Straw page, you'll find a bunch of different like straws that we've used. Like, there's bamboo straws, there's straw straws, there's paper straws, glass straws, stainless steel straws, silicone straws.
What is a silicone straw? You gotta be kidding.
It's for coffee. No, it's like for the coffee, the small little, and it doesn't stain your teeth. It's good for the environment. It's not bad at all.
So that's a really good option. Just don't do it. And the other option is you don't need one. need one.
Exactly. Like,
I have been doing fine without having a straw. I don't need it. And if you're, you know, I know. If you're my age, people say it gives you more wrinkles around your mouth and the last thing in the world you want. So there's a motivation right for that.
Yeah.
And they can.
I mean, I get.
Go ahead.
I get some people, they love straws so much. So if you really want to use a straw, then I would suggest using a reusable one.
Me too. And I put it in my purse. And if I need a straw, because I admit there are a couple things that I enjoy better, which I probably shouldn't even be drinking in the first place, actually, if I have a straw. So I have a little thing in a little container. Glass Dharma sends a little hemp container out with it. And, okay. I want to ask you guys, too, how are you going to work with some of these sponsors to kind of make sure that they're holding up their end? I mean, if you ask Mrs. Green's World and you have Kelly King on it, you don't have to worry about it. She's got a plan. We committed to it. We want to make a difference. We've been talking about it at the Mrs. Green's World team for quite some time. So it was very much in our wheelhouse anyway. So what do you do? People are busy. They're inundated. They have lots of causes. How are you going to encourage partners to make this all that you want it to be?
So most of our partners, we have a strong relationship with them. We've either had meetings with them, we've met them personally, we've done a bunch of different things, and we can trust them just like we can trust you. And with that, we know that we're making a difference, and that's most of our partners right there. And the rest we just call up and remind them, like, every now and then to keep up with it, or to email them, or to send out newsletters, whatever they can do to help spread the word.
And, you know, from where I sit, those things are helpful to me because I get busy, and if I get a little gentle nudge email or a phone call, even more so, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I said I was going to do that. So there's got to be a follow-through to get people excited about it. So in terms of the other work that One More Generation is taking on, onemoregeneration.org, for listeners that want to check out what they're up to, what other things are you working on, or is this going to be like a major focus for right now?
This is a major focus, but we have other major focuses, like we have our orangutan letter writing campaign, which is just like what we were doing for our rhino campaign, is educating the youth and adults about what's happening to orangutans, and we're basically asking them to write a letter to the president of Indonesia, and we will hopefully be traveling over to Indonesia soon in November and to deliver all these letters. And we also have another campaign. It's the same thing, Pangolin Campaign, Awareness Campaign. Do you know what a pangolin is?
No. Is this stump Mrs. Green?
Yes, a pangolin it's the most trafficked mammal on the planet.
You're kidding.
And,
those cute little penguins?
Pangolin.
Pangolin.
Not penguin.
Penguin.
Not penguins. Penguins.
Penguin.
So they're basically armored ant eaters. So they kind of look like armadillos, but with long tongues. And they live in Africa and Asia, and they're mostly used for their meat and scales.
Ew. I'm sorry. That's the first thing I come up with. And so they're killed and taken out of their environment and... No, I had no idea.
One is killed every 5 minutes.
You are kidding. How do you spell it?
P-A-N-G-O-L-I-N.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea. I absolutely had no idea. And I looked it up and it's the cutest thing.
Not a lot of people knows about pangolins.
Oh.
Because it's the most trafficked animal on the planet.
And why are they killed? Why are they killed? What do people want? Is it supposed to bring you, like, the fountain of youth?
So their scales. So you know how rhinos, their horns are made out of hair, keratin?
Yep.
So it's basically the same thing for medicine. people think that penguins' scales are also made out of keratin, which is the same thing as your hair and fingernails.
Right.
And people think that it has medicinal values when it actually doesn't.
For each of you, I'd like to ask, is there one of these really big challenging issues that you're addressing that really evokes your heart and soul and all of you? Because I know for me, there are a couple, because it's a really big universe out there. There's a lot of things that are hurtful that suck the life out of me sometimes. So are there, what are those, this is one I'm never going to stop working on for each of you? Do you have a favorite cause?
Honestly, I love helping all of them, but so far, since it's a new one, I'm really interested in helping the pangolins. Because if you look them up, they're the cutest things in the world.
Livy, how do you find that? How did you know that? Like, I'm Mrs. Green, I didn't ever hear of them.
Well, we just kind of came upon it. We also have some people who told us about it, and so we looked it up and we figured it out, and so we kind of just came upon it.
Okay, and Carter, what about you?
Well, again, since this is a new campaign, I love the One Less Straw Pledge campaign, because I feel like this is one of the biggest straw campaigns ever, and I feel like we can really make a difference with this, because I don't think anyone's taken the approach of getting the youth involved,
right,
with the whole process, rather than getting adults involved. Because we're just trying to get people to use one less straw, and the youth have different thoughts. They don't have the worries of jobs and interviews and everything like that. They can actually focus on these things.
And
so I want to say that's a really great thing for us.
And the other thing is that I thought about, because for me, it's definitely, I think I get the most upset about the orangutans in Indonesia when they're just hacked to pieces and all that. I mean, it's a very visceral impact for me. But what I love about the One Less Straw Pledge campaign is that it has an impact on all the creatures living in the ocean and all the birds that are fishing and picking them up. So if we can make a dent on this, it's just a beginning. It covers so much territory.
It does.
If we can just ignite everybody to get it, you know, extremely excited. And then another question, so thank you for sharing that, is what do you feel you've had the most success in impacting since you've been doing this now, since you were 9 and 10 and a half, and you're now 14 and 15 and a half? Did I get that part right?
Yes,
you did.
Yeah. Yay! Oh my gosh, you're growing up. And I did ask if I can come to your prom, but I really want to come to the wedding. So when the wedding's
I told you earlier, it's June 21st.
I'm so excited. Don't be surprised if Kelly and Grandma Gina show up. It's so great.
Yeah, it's going to be in like 10 years, so don't worry.
Okay, that's good. So tell me about, I lost my train of thought because I thought you guys really... 9 and 10 and a half. I guess a question I have that I really want to ask is, what about, how do you find the balance in your life to have fun, to be teenagers, to make a difference for the planet? I'd like each of you to talk about that. And is this fun? And is this part of what you're doing and keeping up with your schoolwork? I mean, it's a complicated question, but you get it. How do you make it all work?
So for me, I'm in 10th grade now, and I've got an AP class, which is killing me. And the funny thing is that I had homework, and I did it, but it was for the wrong chapter, so I just took a quiz on stuff I didn't know. So this is fun. I want to say the One More Generation has been really fun. I've gotten a lot of experience and knowledge that I wouldn't have gotten out of just being in school, because I get to see and breathe and actually experience those moments that I've would have never gotten to experience, like being in South Africa and seeing a rhino, or in Vietnam with all the people that we met there. I mean, think about it. My school's having a trip to D.C. coming up, and I've been there for like 50 times.
Right, right. And you spend time with people like Jane Goodall. I mean...
Yeah, and I get to spend time with like people like Miss Gina Murphy, darling, you know?
Thanks for that, bud. Love it.
Yeah, no problem.
And then for me, I have school, and then I have a hard time with like my homework and stuff like that because right after schools, I'm actually on the color guard team for my school, which is flag spinning. So at every football game, when the band at halftime, when the band goes out to perform, the color guard team goes out to perform with their flags and stuff. So I have practice about 3 times a week, and then I have a game on Fridays every Friday. And they're like 3-hour practices, and I get like 30 minutes to come home and eat, get changed, and get ready to go again. And then when I get home, I have to do my homework. But I actually had to skip an hour today so I could do this call, but I think it was worth it.
Well, I'm glad for that. You know, what I hope would happen with this podcast is that, you know, most of my listeners are adults, is that they would say to their kids, let's sit down and listen to this as a family, because these are big messages that you are our future. I mean, kids are the only future we ever had. And sit down and listen to this podcast and then decide as a family what kind of things could come out of it. One thing, one fun thing that they value, whether it's getting involved in cleaning up a park or taking part of the One Less Straw Pledge campaign. I just hope that it has the impact. I call it the power of the podcast to see what you're doing as examples. And I just love that you don't hold yourselves up as that. You're just doing the job. You know what I mean? It's like spending any time with you, you know, you're just normal, fun, engaging, smart kids. And, you know, I want to be one of the cool people that hangs around with you. So it's really important. And another thing that I just want to reflect, if I may, is what I so admire and respect is you don't have one focus, because there are lots of things going on. And by your showing up to, you know, at Georgia Power to stop big coal and to take an interest in the pangolins, which now I'm going to probably go reading all night on the internet about pangolins, is just, I think it's really important because they all matter. Plastic in the oceans matter, the jaguars matter, the orangutans matter. So I have a lot of respect for you're not just sticking to one topic, because there's a lot of issues out there, and then people can come and get engaged with you and say there's something for me that I care about, that I'm passionate about. So I love that part. Much respect.
Yeah, and thank you so much. And our main goal is to get everyone to realize that anybody can make a difference. That if we can do it, then you can do it too. And I mean, that's a really great message that we had. But I'd also like to thank you and Miss Kelly and your whole team for having us on third time after 5 years.
And we'll be watching you. I mean, I hope I'm doing this for a long time, and I feel like I've had a lot of things going on my Facebook page this week about my newsletter about the toxins in ice creams and in cheeses, and getting that engagement, it makes you feel like you're making a difference. So everybody, I want to just repeat the way to find out the most about this with the work that Carter and Olivia are doing is to go to onelessstraw.org, and you'll find everything you want there. Sign up, follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever your favorite social media platform is. And then I just want to thank you guys so much, tell you about two shows coming up, Mary Atkinson and Amy Ramsey about TMC Wellness, and Ben Simon, the founder of Imperfect Produce. Can't believe what he's doing at 26. You guys, bless you, and thanks for being in my world.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice seeing you again.